Hello everyone and welcome to the Be Light, Shine Bright podcast. My name is Pakala Kiara and I'll be your host. Here we discuss life and how the different facets of it can influence our mental health. We will talk about therapy, interventions, mental health and life experiences. Remember, if you like it, feel free to give us a share and invite your friends and loved ones to listen. The topic I wanted to discuss tonight is the five basic love languages. Now, the five love languages that I'm going to talk about were first coined by Dr. Gary Chapman in his 1992 book, The Five Love Languages: How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. Now, though these love languages did come from that book, I'm going to talk to you guys in this podcast the way I would talk to someone in one of my counseling sessions about love languages. But of course, if you want more info about them, definitely go and read some of his stuff. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of what each of the five basic love languages are, I wanted to discuss a little bit about why it's important to know your love language and why it's important for not only loving your partner, but for why it is important for loving yourself and taking care of yourself and engaging in practices of self-love and self-care. Knowing how you like to receive love is really important for not only your partner and letting them know the different ways that love feels good to you, but also for yourself. And when you know how you like to be loved, you can greater benefit from receiving love in those ways and letting people know how exactly to love you. It's also really good for your self-care practices, because if you are showing yourself love in the way that you best like to receive it, you will feel the benefits more greatly of self-care and of self-love. So that's really important. Looking at how you like to give love is also important, because it may not be the same as you like to receive it. You may like to give love in different ways to how you like to receive it. Something that's also important to keep in mind is that sometimes we may have learned our love languages from our parents, but we may have also learned other things from our parents or from people in our life from when we were young. They may have modeled to us negative or maladaptive relationship dynamics and relationship models that we may not want to continue in the future. We might not actually know our love language. Some of us may have grown up in an environment where we weren't allowed to explore what felt good to us or how we like to experience love. We may not have received very much love at all. We may have not ever had a chance to do that. It might not be something you have explored in your past relationships. Many people focus on how to give love, especially if we are people pleasers or people that like to take care of others. We may put ourselves last and we might not know why, but one of the reasons might be is that we've never really conceptualized how we like to receive love or why we like to receive it that way. So it's really important to get to know yourself in that way. And it can be life-changing as well to discover your love language or your partner's love language. When we ask questions or we look at how our partner likes to receive love, we are able to show them love in more meaningful and significant ways. They are able to feel it more deeply. They may feel more inclined to return that love to us in new and better ways. They may want to reciprocate more often. They may feel more grateful and appreciative of you. Another thing that can happen with love languages is that if we are not recognizing, or perhaps both of you are not recognizing, how your partner likes to be loved best, they might actually feel a lack of love from you. And it's not because you aren't trying to show them. You may just be trying to express love in a love language that is different from the way they like to receive it, or from a way that they've previously received it before. Some people find some of the love languages hard. I'm generalizing here, but some of the older generation do find it quite hard to engage in words of affirmation. They may find it really hard to say out loud words like "I love you" or "you are important to me" or "I'm proud of you." Perhaps this could be due to modeling from their own parents, and this was never spoken out loud to them or displayed to them appropriately, or it could just be something that feels uncomfortable to them. So perhaps if your partner is feeling unloved in your relationship, it may be that you are trying to express love in a language that is not their number one love language that they like to receive. So it's really cool to kind of talk about things and conceptualize how you both like to receive love and show love to one another in those ways that are meaningful to each of you. And they may not be the same, they may be totally different. As I said before, the way that you give love might be different to the way that you receive love, or sometimes we like to show love the way that we like to receive it, but that may be different to our partners. Love languages are not only useful in romantic relationships and partnerships, but also, as I said before, with self-care and self-love, but also with other relationships in our life, like friendships, and especially our relationships with our children. Our children may like to receive and give love in different ways to us. So it's good to kind of talk with them or just take note and notice when they seem to be happier, when they seem to thrive, and what they seem to seek out more from us as well. Beyond that, it's also really good to teach your children to look out for their love languages and what feels good to them. It will help to increase their emotional intelligence. It will help them with their relationships later on in life. And it will help them with the way that they love and care for themselves as well. Learning someone else's love language also promotes selflessness and promotes us thinking about others in ways that are nice and in ways that are loving. When we are committed to learning someone else's love language, we are focusing more on their needs than the needs of ourselves. It is good to learn your partner's love language, and especially more so than trying to force them to learn yours. It's good to learn each other's love language together. It's a really nice way to show your partner that you care about them. When we know other people's love languages, it helps to foster, create, and sustain empathy. We can empathize with other people, whether they be our partners, our friends, our family, our children. As I said before, with children, even in our own relationships, it can increase emotional intelligence. Talking about what lights us up and what helps us feel loved builds more understanding between each other as well. You can connect on deeper levels. As I said before, we are growing personally when we focus on the needs of somebody else. It might take us a bit out of our comfort zone and force us to think about love in different ways.
This is a short interruption to let you know that if you or a loved one is experiencing difficulty or is in need of more support, you can find me at maramacounseling.com. Be sure to check out the audio resources page also, where you'll have access to a number of free resources that will help you to feel relaxed. Be sure to take advantage of my 20-minute free initial session. I am also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Can't wait to work with you.
So what are the 5 basic love languages? Now, I'm not going to talk about these in any specific order of importance or significance. I'm just going to talk about them. So the 5 basic love languages are number one, acts of service. So acts of service is a love language that is about easing the burden of responsibility for the other person. Or it may involve completing chores or doing something nice for the other person. So acts of service, it makes your partner or the other person that you're trying to show love to feel loved and appreciated. It can be simple things like helping with the dishes or running errands. They can be stuff like housework, like vacuuming, or it can be doing something nice that eases their burden, like filling up the car with fuel or organizing date night or doing the shopping. So a simple act of service that I really enjoy from my partner is when he makes me a cup of tea. He makes it really well, and I really like that he does it for me. I can't describe why, it just feels nice when he makes me a cup of tea. You might have other acts of service that feel meaningful to you, but that's pretty much the point of the acts of service, is to make your partner feel nice and to, you know, kind of let them relax and take a load off. If acts of service is something that you like to provide for others, it's your love language, the way that you like to show love and express love, you probably get a nice feeling when you do nice things for other people. So when you do a favor for them, or when you cook them dinner, it makes you feel nice. If you, you know, clean up their car, or it just gives you kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling inside when you're expressing this love language. Usually people that like to receive acts of service like to express their love in acts of service as well. A good example of acts of service is, I think this was one of my grandfather's main love languages of how he showed people that he appreciated and loved them. And he would do things like service your car, or for my nan in the mornings, he would get up early and he would turn her car on for her and warm up her car, so it was all ready to go before she left for work. He used to like to garden and make the garden really beautiful for her. So that was the way that he liked to express his love, through acts of service. The next love language that I'm going to talk about is physical touch. So this love language encompasses showing love and affection through any type of physical touch. So this is not just solely about intercourse, but also about other types of physical touch, including hand holding, hugs, rubbing, massage, and gentle touch, like even just brushing someone's arm with your hand, or you know, placing your hand upon their shoulder. Physical touch, it does a number of things for love, but it does increase positive endorphins and serotonin, and we are very social creatures as humans. It provides a level of intimacy that a lot of people find really nice. Sometimes they just want, so people that like to receive physical touch as a love language, they may simply just want to be close to their partner as well. It might not just be all about massages and things like that. It might just be, you know, resting their feet upon them when they're watching TV, and getting that kind of hit of oxytocin. The next love language I want to talk about is receiving gifts. So some people really enjoy receiving gifts as a love language. This love language is centered around the appreciation of the love, thoughtfulness, and effort that is involved in gift giving. Receiving gifts can also increase positive neurotransmitters in our brain. People who like to receive gifts often like to give gifts and put a lot of thought into the gifts that they buy for others. But usually people who enjoy receiving gifts, they don't really, in my experience, they don't expect something big or over the top. It's more the effort and the thoughtfulness that has gone into choosing the gift. People who have gifts as their love language often will place a lot of importance on gifts that they've received from people in the past, and they really love and enjoy using their gifts. The fourth love language I wanted to talk about is quality time. So this love language is all about giving your partner your undivided attention. You enjoy spending time with your partner and perhaps sharing something meaningful together, like an experience, or just simply listening to and communicating with your partner. Someone who has this as their primary love language usually enjoys having the undivided attention of the other person. And they feel loved when you are focused on them and present in the conversation or in the time that you have together. Things like turning off your phone or not having distractions like TV in the background are important, and just enjoying others' company. It doesn't always have to be about things like date night and complete undivided attention. It can also involve things like, experiencing an experience together. So it could be doing something like hiking with one another or visiting the beach. It can be things like that as well, quality time. And the fifth and final love language I wanted to talk about is words of affirmation. So words of affirmation encompasses expressing your love and appreciation in words for your partner. So things like text messages, letters, voice messages are really important to your partner. Even just verbally, words that you say to them are really important. This can also be double-edged because they will remember words that feel unloving. It will probably hit them a little bit harder as well if you do that, or if you don't say it ever. Words of affirmation is about expressing affection, praise, or appreciation through spoken words. So they enjoy things like kind words, encouragement, uplifting quotes, cute text messages. They really enjoy things like compliments or pointing out their strengths and things like that as well. So really simply and briefly, those are the five love languages, the basic love languages, in a nutshell. So we don't have to subscribe to only one love language. We can enjoy a number of them or even all of them in different degrees. On one day, you may need one more than the other. You may prefer a love language in a specific circumstance over another. As I said before, these aren't just about romantic relationships. They can also be about the relationships we have with other people, like our children or our family members or our friendships. When we are looking at using these love languages in our self-care, we can think about different things that we can do for ourselves that, you know, encompass all of the love languages. So if words of affirmation are important to us, it may be helpful for us to celebrate our small wins and congratulate ourselves on our accomplishments and in reaching our goals. If acts of service is an important one for ourselves, just engaging in things that could be considered to be self-care is an act of service to ourselves. Something that I like to do as an act of service for myself is to go to the gym or to keep an appointment that is important to my well-being and my health, especially my body. So things like physio appointments. That also kind of ties in with things like physical touch. Perhaps you might go and get yourself a massage or a pedicure or a facial, or even getting your hair done can be a way of receiving physical touch if that's an important love language to you. Giving gifts to ourselves is also another way of expressing self-love, and I think a lot of us do this one probably more than the others. When we are looking at self-care or cheering ourselves up, we might buy ourselves something that we've had our eye on for a while. And we kind of give ourselves a little gift to ourselves. But quality time is also another really important one to give to ourselves. Sometimes we put ourselves last. We don't spend time with ourselves alone or just doing things that we like to do. So it's important to remember those things as well. If you have a busy schedule, it's really important to schedule in time for yourself. And I have done a few podcast episodes on self-love and self-care and holding space for yourself. So please feel free to go ahead and go back through my podcast catalog and look at the episodes that appeal to you in the way of self-care. But I do talk about scheduling in time for yourself in my podcast episode on time blocking and time scheduling. So yes, I hope that this episode's been useful for you in conceptualizing your love languages. And it's important to, look at how you like to receive love and how you like to give love and how your significant other in your life likes to give and receive love too. For different situations, things like long distance relationships, it's important to kind of conceptualize what's important to you so that you can make the most of your time that you have together when you do get to see one another. Apart from long distance relationships, every relationship has its obstacles or its barriers to overcome. So knowing your partner's love language can really help with that. As I said, I hope this episode's been useful to you and you've gained some useful information. Be sure to go ahead and read the books by Dr. Gary Chapman if you would like more info about the love languages. But I look forward to speaking with you guys next time.
This concludes this episode of the Be Light, Shine Bright podcast from Marama Counseling. I'm Pakala Kiara and I hope you enjoyed listening today. Keep your eyes peeled and your ears ready for more episodes in the future. And remember, be light, shine bright. Until next time.